What's going on, y'all? Welcome to another episode of A Minute Till Six. This is basically like season three, episode one, and I'm very pleased. Hold on, excuse me. Pardon my mishaps. Introduce my co-host over here. My bad.
Bring me in, man. Chris Perry, Chris.PerrySR. Y'all know me.
Yeah, and this is episode one, season three. And today, we starting it off with the ladies. And she represents the ladies well when it comes to basketball and, you know, her knowledge of the game and and just being one of the great NBA personalities out there. Like to introduce you guys to my girl, Joy D'Angela. How's it going?
I'm good. I'm just trying to stay in tune with this basketball stuff because it's 1,000 games going on at one time. So I'm trying to keep up with everybody.
Right. That's what's up. And yeah, we all battling that. I'm running around doing things, and next thing I know, a whole game done passed, and I'm like, oh man, what's going on? The weird times and stuff is crazy. Speaking of crazy, we had a crazy game last night with the Warriors and the Portland Trail Blazers and Steph Curry from Team Light Skin going for 62 big ones. Right. First off, deuce. I'm gonna ask Joy first, ladies first.
Go ahead.
What did you think about Steph Curry's performance?
Honestly, if you want my real opinion on it, I'm impressed. I am impressed by Steph. As far as you know, the scoring, how many points he put up, I'm impressed by, you know, and he's a Hall of Fame shooter, unanimous MVP. I get it. The thing that I'm not impressed by is who it was against. It was against Portland, and Portland is a contender. They have no defense. They are very trash on defense. So with that being said, I'm like, it's cool. That's amazing. It's a landmark in history. But at the same time, it was against Portland. It doesn't surprise me because people have been dogging Portland. Like James Harden left the strip club and dogged Portland. So with that being said, it doesn't surprise me. Had this been against like the Clippers or the Mavericks or the Bucks or Miami, I'm like, okay, hold on. But it was against them. And I also look at his prior games before he played the Bulls and played, you know, Detroit and played Portland back to back. And those games have been a little bit inefficient. So I want to see him against better teams that I would be impressed by. And then it was very, very impressive.
That's fair. Chris, I see a lot of head shaking over there, man. It looked like you disagree with something. What's going on?
I feel like it's a fair assessment to some extent. But these are all NBA players, man. The Portland Trail Blazers went out in free agency and they loaded up on wing defenders. You got Jones Jr. They brought back Rodney Hood. They've loaded up on wing defenders, and I felt like, you know, Steph was just doing Steph things last night.
Right.
I felt like it didn't matter what team it was, the boy was cooking. 62 is 62 in the NBA, and I mean, you can't be anything other than impressed. I can't put a but after that, you know. There's no but to me after that. It's just 62, like 62 smooth, 8 three-pointers, and what was he, 10 for 20 from the field? That boy was raw last night. He heard what Dame said. He heard the little quote about if he has to win this year for his legacy to be solidified. And the boy came out there and did what he had to do to remind everybody, man, I'm still Steph Curry. You know, we're just missing a few pieces over here. But if you look at his prior games, although inefficient, because he has been trying to figure out how to, you know, navigate the offense without your key pieces. You had Draymond was out, which is the centerpiece of their offense. Klay is gone, as we all know. It's been inefficient, but last night he showed it's still there. They just trying to put this thing together. That's all. Did we lose? There we go.
Yeah, and that's my thing, man. Like, this was just, you know, Steph Curry being Steph Curry, like you said. You know, he struggled early on in the season. Was still early on in the season. We only six games in, first off. Right. But early on, you know, the first three, four games or whatever, he shot, you know, poorly from the field, you know, poorly from the three, but it's early. This is Steph Curry. Like, this is one of the great, not one of the greatest, this is the greatest shooter of all time. Eventually, he's going to get it going. But it is going to be a lot tougher on them without, you know, Klay Thompson or in the past, Kevin Durant. They're not running at full throttle, and they're probably not going to be running at full throttle, you know, the rest of the year, especially missing Klay. But it's going to be tougher. You're going to see a different Steph. But at the end of the day, this is still Steph Curry, which runs me to my next question going along with Steph Curry. And I'm coming at you. They act like Steph Curry isn't a top three point guard in the NBA no more. Joy, give me your top three point guards.
I'm talking about right now, because the thing is, the season just got started, and then you have these different
things. This is unfair.
Here's the thing. You have people like, you know, Trae Young coming up. People are counting Luka as a point guard now. LeBron's playing point guard. I wouldn't consider LeBron a point guard because it's LeBron at the end of the day. I feel like you can't put him at point guard. But you have Russ, you have Dame, you have Kyrie, who looks really, really good right now. So it's a lot of different, you know, point guards out there. John Wall's back. He looks really good. So
real good.
It's hard to say, but to be honest with you, before this game, as far as performances go, I couldn't put him in top three for the season just because John Wall has
coming off injury.
Right. No. I'm talking about as far as the games that we've seen so far from him, like before this game, like the Bucks game on Christmas and then the Detroit game in Chicago. Like he looks really good. And I think eventually, and I think Draymond Green coming back was a big thing for him as well, because last night he was facilitating more instead of playing off the ball. But I just feel like it's really early to say because, you know, just different players, you know, it's hard to say. But as far as the three guards that have impressed me the most, I think you could put Steph in there. I think you could put Trae Young in there. Luka looks he looks cool right now. I haven't seen much from Luka so far. Dame looks like buns. Dame looks buns right now. I mean, at least right now. And the thing is, I wanted him to get MVP because I had him getting MVP. But I'm like, bro, this dude he's not going to get it, because even last year he had a slow start. Last season he's having a really, really bad start this time. And he's had some games here and there. But and Russ, I'm doing my best not to be biased anymore. It's a hard question, but I think Trae Young, you definitely have to put Trae Young in there as far as right now goes. For the games we've seen, you got to put Trae Young in there for sure.
So Trae is in your top three. Who's the other two?
Yeah, Steph, Trae, and it sounded like she wanted to put Westbrook in there, but she paused on a little bit. I thought my internet connection went away.
I'm gonna say Trae, Steph, and Luka for right now.
Nice.
I'm gonna say Trae, Steph, and Luka for right now. And I'm not gonna disrespect Steph. Like, the man dropped 62. If you're not gonna put him, because the thing is, I'm speaking hypothetically down the line. So I have to see more, because I've never seen him by myself before. So I want to see what he looks like by himself, because a lot of other guards have been by themselves their whole career, to a certain extent. So that being said, I just want to see more. I feel like this is his year to show us that he can really put a team on his back without anybody else. So, but yeah, as far as the 62-point game goes, you definitely got to put him in the top three for right now. So, yeah.
I would agree. I would agree with that top three to some extent. I got Steph there, of course, still. I never – injury, all that last year – I didn't really believe it. You know, they took a year off. I understand. They was tired. I got Steph there. Of course, like you said, Draymond being back facilitating these last couple games has opened things up for him. And he was inefficient in the first few games without Draymond. Yet at the same time, he's inefficient by his own standards, because James Harden and these other guys will put up the same numbers, 30-some points a game with the same shooting percentages, and we won't blat an eye. So, but he was just inefficient by Steph Curry standards. He was still efficient as one of your star players would be. So I got Steph there. I got Kyrie there right now.
Kyrie, too. Yeah, you could do that. So I would say Trae, Kyrie, and maybe Trae, Kyrie, and Steph probably, yeah.
Yeah, so Kyrie is doing his thing right now over there, and again, very efficiently. I've been surprised with what they've looked like, even though they've been holding L's. It just looks like as soon as they bring that thing all the way together, you know, they're a championship contender. But Kyrie, for all his worth, is giving y'all everything that we haven't seen since he left Cleveland, because we didn't see this Kyrie in Boston at all. So I'm excited about Kyrie. We got Steph Kyrie, and man, Trey or Luka, Lord. I got to go with Trey right now because Luka just missed a game or two.
I was going to say.
You know, Luka ain't playing.
I was going to say.
I got to give it to Trey. Trey has been Trey so far every game this season. And he's definitely got the Hawks in playoff contention. They'll be in the playoffs. I actually think they'll be a top three team. So, yeah, I got to go with Trey, Steph, and Kyrie as well.
Right. I was about to say, man, Trey is actually – he's leading my top three right now. I got Trey as the best point guard in the league right now. Six games in, it's early. The Hawks are looking good. What are they? 4-2, 5-2, something like that. Playing good, looking good. Trey doing his thing. Then I got Kyrie and Steph. And I think probably in that order, even though Steph just went for 62. But I think I got it in that order for the beginning of the year. But this is one thing, y'all triggered something. This is a little off topic, but on topic, y'all triggered something when y'all brought up Trey and Kyrie. I'm willing to go out on a limb right now. And this, I understand this might be a little early, you know, in Trey's career.
Okay.
But I think right now, today, Trey Young is better than Kyrie Irving.
Woo. That's it. At this premature right now, you that's what you call it.
I'm right now. I mean, if we talk about, all right, Trae Young and Kyrie Irving, right? Let's take the one reason we go say Kyrie's better than Trae is because of accolades, championships, playoff experience. You know,
I'm with Joy.
I'm
with Joy now.
I feel like he's like the most skilled guard of all time.
Yeah, I'm with Joy now. The boy got some.
He's crafty.
He got some pit pat to him, brother.
I got a question for you. Who would you take?
Talk to me.
Now, I know last night he bricked the last winning shot, but in an everyday situation, if you could pick who's going to take the last shot, is it Trey or Kyrie?
Well, I mean, I would say because of experience right now, I would say Kyrie. I haven't seen Trey in too many clutch moments other than the one I could think of, where he hit a game winner off it, but it was like a little tip shot. Right. So I haven't really seen Trey under that pressure. That's why I say I think it's premature for me for sure to say that. But when it comes to, you know, like we say, let's give Kyrie the skill category. Who's a better playmaker right now?
Playmaker? Man,
right now.
I feel like that's pretty close, man. That's pretty neck and neck because Kyrie can get to that cup by itself, man.
Yeah. And I will say this. I feel like you can't put Kyrie in any situation and expect him to make the best out of it or make the best out of his teammates. Because you look in Brooklyn and Boston, and when he got hurt, they did worse. I mean, they did better. You know, they start winning games. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even last season, a lot of people were saying, you know, right now that, you know, before Spencer got hurt, Brooklyn has the most depth in the league. And they pretty much had the same roster as last year, plus KD and Kyrie. Exactly. But with that being said, before Kyrie got hurt, he was talking about the teammates. And he said, you know, well, what we need right now is glaring or something like that. So he was pretty much saying that we don't have what we need. But now they look good. Mm-hmm. Everybody's sending all this debt. And it's like, you just said last season, y'all didn't have what y'all needed. So that being said, I feel like with Trae Young, you may be able to put him in more situations to win games than Kyrie, because you can't put Kyrie anywhere. I'll say that as well.
That's true, and that was going to actually be one of my points, because we seen Kyrie in different situations. We seen him in Cleveland by himself, where he even sniffed the playoffs. It wasn't even you know, the playoffs was just a dream. It wasn't even a thought. You know, and Trae Young, I'm going out on a limb and saying that the Hawks are going to make the playoffs this year, and that'll already be something Trae Young did that Kyrie wasn't able to do. And like I said, it's premature, but we go remember this episode. And I'm telling y'all right now, by the end of the year, people will all agree. Not all, you know, it's never going to be all, but people will agree Trae Young is a better point guard than Kyrie Irving.
Okay, yeah. Let me go ahead and get let me go ahead and say my 2 cents and get on off of this one. To answer Joy, I would have to say Kyrie over Trae as far as the last second shot, and same thing as Mark, just because it's just experience. Kyrie has been in the finals, hit big shots in the finals. You can't get bigger than that. So at that point, he's proven more than Trae has in that sense. Teammate wise, like you said, Kyrie is a little bit different. You know, he's just a little bit different. That's all. You got to be able to manage
that.
Got
the sage.
Yeah, he's sage in the state. It's just a little different. It's all right. As long as it works in Brooklyn with Nash and everybody over there, then it's fine by me. I think right now they it's pretty even between the two point guards, if you ask me. And so I got to give the edge to the vet. I got to get edge to the vet, the crafty vet. He can do everything on the court. So can Trae, but he just hasn't given me enough yet. So I got to give the edge to Kyrie and who's better right now, Mark, to answer your question, between the two of them. And by the end of the year, one of them will be in the finals and the other one will not. And so I think
that's team success. That's team success. That is team success. And if he don't make it, like have Kyrie have been coming up short ever since he left LeBron, he's been coming up short. So well, that's got to be a knock on.
Well, I'm gonna say this:
if we go boost him if he there, you know, it's got to be a knock if he don't make it.
I wasn't saying that Atlanta won't be there. See, that's where you misunderstood me.
Yeah,
there you go. I just watched Atlanta demolish the Nets the other night.
Wait, so how do you know that it's going to be Atlanta or Brooklyn the finals?
Those are my two teams coming out of the East. That's what I picked right now. Wow. I can't see any other team in the East right now that can compete with those two teams and what they got working. Like as a team, as a unit, they looking real good. They're looking real smooth. They're only going to get better. I saw this at the beginning of last year with the defending champs. I know y'all see this Mickey Mouse on me right here. The Disney champs, the Lakers. I saw this between the Lakers team last year, the camaraderie, the team chemistry, and I'm seeing it right now in the East. I've seen them come together. I don't see championship chemistry because that's still over there in Lakerland. But I'm seeing it come together to be the best two teams in the East, and that's the Atlanta Hawks and the Brooklyn Nets. You can give me a team, and I can tell you how it ain't going to work. Let's hear it.
I was just saying, man. I wonder if Kyrie – listen, I'm very concerned about Brooklyn right now. Very. And for one, Spencer Dinwiddie, he's gone for the season. And I feel like that piece made them dang near unbeatable. I think Spencer and Caris with the addition of KD and Kyrie, because all those guys can go for 40 or 30 or any given moment. And Caris, he's a little shaky right now, but he'll be fine. But as far as, you know, Brooklyn goes, we haven't seen Kyrie play a full season in years. That's the first thing. I'm worried about injuries. I'm worried about, you know, and like I said, Spencer's gone now. Caris LeVert is also injury prone as well. So, yeah, I'm worried about that as far as injuries goes. As far as Atlanta goes, I do think they can benefit from, you know, the bubble or, you know, no fans because they're a young team. And we saw what Denver and Miami did last season with the young team. So I'm not too much doubting Atlanta because, you know, they're great. I love that team. And they're actually my dark horse to come out the East. But Brooklyn, there is no lock on that. I feel like there is absolutely no lock on Brooklyn anymore, especially like losing Spencer Dinwiddie. There's no lock on them at all.
Joy, I have to agree with you on that. And I disagree with both of y'all. Not, I ain't even gonna say disagree. The Hawks, I'm just not sold yet.
Yeah,
even though Trae's my guy, but
yeah, I'm not sold on Atlanta. But I think there is an inkling of them being able to go.
Amen, yeah. Amen. It's special. But okay, so I will say, Brooklyn, they had Dinwiddie, and if I look at Dinwiddie's numbers, he really didn't give us nothing in the first couple games while he was playing before he got hurt.
You said give us?
Yeah,
you said give us nothing.
As far as viewers. You see the Mickey Mouse. You see, you know what it is over here. I'm Lakerland through and through. Purple in my blood.
But, makes me
nervous. Oh man, I can't do it. Anyways, there's really no measurement of what he was, because he was only there for a couple games, and what he produced in those couple games wasn't anything significant. You had a couple rebounds, a couple points. Like, literally, I don't even think he hit double digits any game. So I don't feel like they lost too much. Of course, he's a great player. He is. He potentially can put up 40 and 30 any night, but he didn't yet. And they were still running like a fine oiled machine. When LeBron first went to Miami, it started off rocky, and then they got into their groove and they took off. This is just a rocky situation to start. I understand it. They're what, four? They're 3-4 right now, I believe. It's just rocky start. They'll find their footing. Of course, KD is out for the week with COVID. Tracing fine.
My fantasy points. Just I'm not down worried. The drain.
I bet they are.
At the end, we play each other this week, so he's sick right now. I'm just not worried about the Nets. It's really, first of all, we're in the East. We're talking about the East. All you gotta do is make the playoffs. You can be the eighth seed in the playoffs, and you go into the finals if you're the Nets. I honestly think if the Nets went to the bubble last year with Kyrie and KD, they could have ran to the finals as the eighth seed. But that's neither here nor there. It didn't matter because the Lakers was there to meet them in the end anyway. So, yeah, I got Nets still. And, again, I just sense this magic around the Hawks. They have all the pieces. They got the rebounders, the shot blockers, the defenders, the scorers, the three-point shooters. They just got it all going right now. And so, I got those two teams coming out the East. And I don't care who else you want to put in the West. It's Lakers.
Well, to touch on the Nets, my internet went out a little earlier, but touch on the Nets real quick, I'm with Joy. I'm worried about the Nets for the same reason Chris, you was worried about the Clippers last year. Chemistry.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
You know, it's gonna be, they gonna have to do it on the fly. You know, the Lakers did it. All the LeBron teams that he left to, they had, like you said, rocky starts, but they figured it out. And we talked about Kyrie being, you know, not such a great teammate, you know, in the past. Now, one thing I haven't liked so far this year is, you know, I feel like Kyrie in his head, he thinks he's the best player on this team. And the best player on this team is Kevin Durant.
Easily.
On last second shots, Kevin Durant should have a ball in his hands. That's not what we've seen this year. Kyrie hit one, earlier, and he missed one the other day. But Kevin Durant should get that first look. It was the comment that's going around for weeks now about now. I look on the other side. I see a guy who can make that shot too. Yeah, that's true. He can make that shot too, but he needs to take that shot first. So I think until you figure, just like in Miami, LeBron and D-Wade had to figure out, like, yeah, we both alpha dogs. But who's 1A and who's 1B? Right. And I don't know if Kyrie in 1 year can figure out in his head that he's 1B.
Well, he's going to have to if he want to win the championship. It's that simple. If you ever want to contend for a ship, he's going to have to realize that he ain't the man. And I think he realized that, which is why he ended up in Brooklyn with somebody that is the man. Because he went to Boston and he realized it wasn't what he thought it was. I think you remember he reached out to LeBron after the fact, said, man, I realize this is a little bit harder than I thought, and I apologize for making things hard on you. So it'll be all right. Like I said, it's a long season. They'll figure it out. These are like top of the line, top 10 players, two top 10 players in the league. So they'll figure it out. I ain't worried about it.
Also, Steve Nash is actually going to have to really do some. And if they do figure out how to make it to the championship, he's going to deserve a lot of credit because, you know, this isn't like we look at the team and we say they're so good because they have all this talent. They should walk to the finals in the East, but that's not going to be the case, especially with teams like the up-and-coming teams like the Hawks, Celtics. Philadelphia looks good right now, and it's going to be some other teams that surprise you. Orlando. Orlando's looking really, really good right now.
Well, I got a quick question.
Well, hold on, Chris. Hold on. I got what? Is it because I left out Miami?
Yeah, I was waiting for you to name Miami.
No.
You didn't name it. I was just waiting, and you said Orlando. How you pick the sorriest team in Florida? Not calling Orlando sorry, but Orlando is clearly more trash than Miami. You're gonna say them for you. Say, okay, all right, it's fine.
I think
Miami's in there though. Miami's in there. I see them.
They benefited from the bubble, but they
so just like Atlanta's gonna benefit.
Yeah, Miami had the chance to win last year. I don't know if that magic is still there. Miami found that magic in the playoffs.
We didn't though. We did the same thing in the regular season as in the playoffs. We dogged the Bucks in the regular season. We in the playoffs. The first game we played the Bucks, Giannis had 29 points. No Jimmy Butler, we got on the road and beat him. Giannis did his thing the first time. No Jimmy Butler, we beat him. Giannis came to Miami. We dogged him. He only had 13 points. So same thing, different teams. Now Boston did give us a little trouble in the regular season. But the thing with Boston is they blow leads like crazy. Yes, so that's absolutely their problem. And bubble or not, they were gonna blow leads, I feel like. But I'm not too confident in saying that Miami would be Boston as I am with Milwaukee. I think Milwaukee's gonna have it regardless.
So my question, since we were on the Nets, my question had to do with what team has the best new duo? What team has the best new duo? You got the Nets as a new duo. You got the Phoenix Suns, their new duo. What team, the new duo, is the best to you?
I think when it's all said and done, it's going to be Russell Goldbrook and Bradley Beal. I think so.
Hey, hold on, Joy. But hold on, Chris. Now, it's Goldbrook is funny. We know that's your guy. But I really, really like Westbrook and Beal together. Yeah. And I think Westbrook doesn't get enough respect. And I think Bradley Beal damn sure don't get enough respect. The dude averaged 37-5 last year and couldn't even make the All-Star team. 37-5.
It's disrespectful. Disrespectful.
Listen, I like that.
I love Bill. He should have been in All-Star game. I think they'll find a way to sneak him in this year, just on merit from last year. But
he makes it.
Yeah, he got to make it this year, man. I love Westbrook. He's been one of my favorite players. I mean, if anybody that knows me knows he's always been one of my favorite players. But the duo does nothing for me. I feel like we're looking at the Eastern Conference version of Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum.
No.
You got these two guys, two guards. They can score. They can do all this all day. But the team ain't going nowhere.
That's not true.
What are they going to do? Please tell me.
I'm not saying they're going to win the finals or go deep in the playoffs, but I will say this. The thing with the Wizards, the reason why, and I looked at them last year, the reason why the Wizards aren't that good and they haven't done well is because of three things. I would say three or four things. Turnovers, they foul incredibly too much, coaching, and they never play defense.
Well, that was four things, but
they was missing John Wall the last.
Everybody can't stop. Yeah, and that as well. Now, listen, there are pretty much since Russ has gotten there, they have been ranting and raving about how much aggression he's brought, especially defensively. And Thomas Bryant looks way better than he did last season, in my opinion, more efficient. And Scott Brooks told Thomas Bryant, he said, get ready to have one of your best seasons of your career, you know, when Russ came. Mm-hmm. So that being said, Russ, I feel like he is built for the Wizards. When I went out on a limb a few, weeks ago, and people said I was crazy. They said, I said, I thought this is Russ's best fit since Kevin Durant's left, in my opinion, because I would pick this team over the Paul George team. Why? Because I think Paul George is a cupcake, for one. I think he's a cupcake. And I would choose Bradley Beal over Paul George any day of the week. So with that being said, you need someone. And obviously, y'all probably wondering, why not Harden? Well, Russ and Harden, the style of play didn't really match. Russ wasn't happy there. And Bradley Beal can play off ball like Paul George. So that being said, two guys can play off ball. Bradley Beal, I picked that. Now, obviously, I feel like coaching Scott Brooks, I like him. I think he's more of a player coach and a game coach. I think that the coaching could be better. So hopefully that improves. But you know, the Wizards, they have, first of all, they have a lot of speed. Bradley, Russ, Ish Smith, they have a lot of speed on one team that can speed past you and get buckets. Now, Russ, you know, he's still figuring it out. And you can tell because he's taking, you know, jump shots here and then he's driving the next game. And he's trying to figure out, I think, like a balance. So I mean, I'm patient with him, but what I saw last night with Brooklyn, if Russ and Bradley Beal can both find a way to both be efficient at the same time, they could be dangerous because, for one, you have quick guys that can't nobody stop on ISO. You have, you know, you have shooters who can like let it fly. You got Thomas Bryant, who's a 6'10 center, who can, mm-hmm. I've never seen a center shoot like that. I haven't. Like, I've seen Joel Embiid, you know, he can, you know, I've never seen someone that efficient as a center going 6-for-6 from the three as a center. I've never seen that before. And so, and consistently, like every game. So that being said, you have people like that, and you have Bertans, you have Nato and Ish Smith and Hashimura, who's really, really good. He doesn't get a lot of enough credit. And
I like Hashimura.
Yeah. And so with that being said, they all can shoot threes, you know? So I feel like once Russ finds a balance, you know, with taking threes and not taking threes and improving his shot and things like and things like that. And, you know, and I will say he looks better as far as he's pacing himself more. He only had 2 turnovers last night. So that being said, I think just one, as long as the more he plays with them, the more the chemistry, you know, starts up, I think they're going to be the best in the league. I really do. Now, I don't know how many games they're going to win, but while they're figuring it out, but I know next season, whatever happens, they're going to be a problem next season. I'm very, very confident in that. But as far as this goes, I'm not sure yet, but I do think they can at least make the playoffs. I do think that.
I'm sorry, I got to backtrack real quick shortly. I feel like you said that eventually they will be the best duo in the league. And I just
No, they are. I think by the end of this season, I think they are right now, but I think they still have to figure it out. But I think they're slowly becoming that. But I feel like after it's done, I mean, unless you're going to count Bron and AD, I'm not, no. Russ and Bradley Beal.
Yeah. Who do you got a problem with here, Chris Perry? What's going on?
I just wanted her to make sure she mentioned the greatness. I want to make sure she mentioned the champions, Bron and AD. Oh. I mean, there's no
– Oh, the bubble ring?
You got two top three players on the same team. I feel like you can't not mention them when you're talking about duos. But go ahead. You know, I heard everything about the you know, they had coaching problems before. They had turnover problems before. I forgot the other two things you said. But coaching is still Scott Brooks, which – I found last check he lost a 3-1 lead in the playoffs, so I don't know if that's a great coach. You know, ask Doc Rivers, you know, what that gets you. multiple L's and fired and sent to a new job. So I can't say that, you know, they upgraded on coaching. We'll see. It's yet to be determined. He hasn't done anything yet. And then turnovers, Russ, we know Russ with turnovers, he's doing okay. He has his stints. Again, he's one of my favorites, so I'll watch him. He has his stints where he'll do okay, and then he has his stints where he just like, I'm gonna force everything. I'm going to put this square peg into this circle hole, and I don't care. I'm Russell Westbrook. So hopefully he can stay the course on where he's at right now, because it will be good for them and their team. But best duo, yeah, I'll just let you go ahead.
I actually like that pick, Joy, and I'm a double down with you on that. I think when it comes to – and your question, to clarify what I mean, Chris, your question was best new duo. So that excludes LeBron and AD. They've been together. So when it comes to the new guys, you know, even when it comes to Kyrie and KD, you know, I think Westbrook and Bill have the opportunity to be the best duo by the end of the year. Once they figure it out, they got a lot of things to figure out. But, of course, KD and Kyrie are the front runners right now. You mentioned Phoenix, and I don't know if I consider – I don't know if I consider Chris Paul and Devin Booker a duo, right?
That's a duo. That's my best Chris duo. Paul.
Chris Paul's starting off slow. I'm sorry.
The team is starting off great.
He's on my fantasy team.
What do you want from Chris Paul on that roster? What do you want from him on that roster?
I want what he's doing. Chris Paul, you know, we already know he's one of the best floor generals in the league, if not the best one. But no, because he can still score. Why not give us both?
he doesn't have to on that team. That's what you got to look for. That's what you got 84.
Watch. Well, there's going to come a game where they're going to need him to score. And now he better score. That's all I know. Because if he don't score when he posts to, I'm going to be looking at you crazy.
Look for me. You can call me, beat me if you want to reach me. I'm telling you right now. All right. At the end of the day, he has it going right now. He's got his young guys involved, which is what you want to do coming in. You want to give everybody that confidence boost. Get the young guys involved. When crunch comes down to it, Book is struggling, Aiden is struggling, whatever. If Chris Paul got to get a bucket, he knows how to get to that free throw line and hit that little 15-footer. We know that, and I'm not worried about that. He can do that anytime. He can say that for the playoffs for all I care.
I hope so.
Build the chemistry up. I think Book, CP3, you know, the other CP, not me, CP, I think that's the best new duo in the league by year's end with the best record out of all the new duos.
Okay. Well, that's
my problem, though.
Oh, go ahead. My bad.
Yeah, you got the floor.
Oh, I was just saying, I do have Devin Booker getting this. I do have Devin Booker getting a scoring title this year, because of Chris Paul being there. So I do recognize Chris Paul's greatness, which is why I have Devin Booker getting the scoring title. So yeah, I think I see what you're saying.
Thank you.
See, my thing is, I can't agree with you when you say best duo, because when I think of Phoenix. And when I look at what they're doing, and even in your explaining of why you say best duo, you mentioned Aiden, you mentioned other guys. I think Chris Paul is just the best fit over there in Phoenix, but it's not necessarily a 1-2 punch. When you look at the Wizards, it's Westbrook Beal. You look at the Nets, it's Kyrie KD. Chris Paul is a blender right now. He's a Hall of Famer, all-time great, the best floor general in the game, him and Rondo, but it's not like you go see a game where it's like CP go for 30, Book go for, another 30. But he may give you, 18, 10, here and there, but it's as needed. So I can't say they're the best duo if he's doing things as needed. Westbrook and Bill is doing things every night.
Is the duo dependent upon points scored or you being the best two players on your team? I mean, if you take Chris Paul off that team, they're not what they are right now. They're a solid team still, but they're not what they are right now.
Look pretty good without him last
year. In the bubble, they made a run. I'll give you the run at the end of the bubble. But as far as looking at this team, Chris Paul does not have to score 30 points. He just has to control the team. And him controlling the team and controlling the game without scoring points says more about him than him putting up 30. If you can control the game and navigate and have your whole team going off and they can't stop you as a player and you only got 10 points, I think you controlled the game more than what your 30 points would have did.
And what I will say is if Goldbrook leaves the Wizards, the defense leaves with him, all them assists, the triple-dub leaves with him, and Thomas Bryant ain't Thomas Bryant like that no more either.
Okay, that's a fact.
That's a fact. And don't forget, they combined for 51 points last night. And the thing is, They played terrible offensively. Russ had shot 28% last night. Bradley Beal shot 38%. That would not be a normal thing for them to. So with that being said, it's going to be scary. Once they click, it's a wrap. It's over. So for all the duos, including AD and Brian, all of them, it's over. Just wait. Yeah.
Those type of shooting numbers won't be a normal thing for Bill, but we can expect that from Russ. Go ahead, Mark.
Oh, wow.
So, well, speaking of gelling and chemistry, it's one team in the city where I'm living at right now that's having a lot of chemistry issues, off the court. They look pretty good on the court, but it's more noise off the court than anything in the Sacramento Kings. And we got the issue with Marvin Bagley's dad tweeting out, please trade Marvin Bagley 3. And then shortly after,
Swipe
Fox. De'Aaron Fox, who just signed a big, big contract, the biggest contract in Sacramento Kings history, his pops go to Twitter and he say, trade him. Let's get rid of him. What do you guys think about that situation? I start with Joy, ladies first as always. What do you think about that situation and is it really a big issue for the Kings or is it just, parents getting on Twitter and talking?
This is what I'll say. If Marvin Bagley is truly unhappy, that's one thing. If it's just his dad, you know, he's unhappy and he's tired of seeing his son lose, that's another thing. As far as Marvin Bagley goes, I think he's a good player. But I feel like he's not that great to just demand a trade, and he hasn't proved enough, in my opinion, to just be like, oh yeah, I'm Marvin Bagley and I want out. Like, okay, calm down. Now, De'Aaron Fox, that's different. De'Aaron Fox, I love De'Aaron Fox. I think, you know, not to bring Russ back up, but he reminds me a lot of Russell Westbrook, and I think he could be really, really good. He has a better shot. He's more efficient from time to time. So if De'Aaron Fox is out here saying that, it's just like, okay, now we got to, you know, we got to fix it.
Well,
that's De'Aaron Fox.
Well,
his daddy.
His dad, right. So like I said, if De'Aaron's unhappy, then that's one thing. But if it's just the parents, it's just like, okay. Because my thing is, I feel like you have to keep that same energy with LeVar Ball. When LeVar Ball says what he says, everybody's saying, oh, it's a problem, this is inappropriate. They have to keep the same energy with other parents, because saying stuff like that, because that affects, it's a business at the end of the day. It's not AAU, it's not high school, it's a business. So I think, you know, they're overreacting, and I get it. You know, I'm not sure what the issue is, because I haven't really been in tune with that. But, you know, if it's a losing thing, it's all about patience. Like the Kings, you know, besides, you know, players like Harrison Barnes, they're still pretty young in my opinion. So, you know, it comes with it. You're a rookie. You're not going to be where you want to be all the time. After after your contract, like Colin Sexton, after Colin Sexton's contract and De'Aaron's, well, he just signed 5 years. So that's another story, because you chose to stay at that point. So I don't know what his dad complained about, really. Yeah. But yeah, as far as Marvin goes, you know, they just got to be patient with it and just ride it out.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Bag shouldn't have been a King to begin with. And we've had this conversation, Mark, multiple times. We've had this conversation. You know, shout out to Vladdy and all of them that was drafting over there. Lord, they blew it. But Bagley, look, he don't want to be there. He can go. I mean, he ain't really had a full season to begin with. You know, right. He's never there. You know, he's always injured. So to come in complaining at the start of a year, whether he said it or said it through his dad or whatever the case may be, you know, to trade him. And then you got De'Aaron, the guy that you just signed to the huge contract. His dad says what he says. Maybe they're speaking through their parents. Who knows? But if that's the case, I mean, what can you get for Bagley? He wants to get traded. What can they get for him at this point? You know, a bag of chips, you know, some nasty chips at that, some plain Lays or something. If he wants to go. I don't know what they can get for him. But as the King organization, I know they're trying to clean it up. They got Dumars in there now. They got to figure this thing out, because this is back-to-back season where you got players roundabout ways asking for trades. You had Buddy Hield last year. You got to clean this thing up, man, because it's too much noise around a young locker room. And you don't want that, man. You want these guys to be locked in, glued in, and focus on what's going on and trying to buy into this head coach.
Yeah, I don't know if I lost signal earlier when I was trying to talk to again, but it with De'Aaron's dad, he wasn't saying trade De'Aaron. He was saying trade Marvin.
Marvin, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. All right. I was making sure I couldn't get that.
Got
yeah.
It, got
yeah,
it, got
that's
got
what he
it.
So ooh, dang, Marvin dad tough. Was like, yeah, trade my son. And De'Aaron's dad was like, yeah, trade him. he wasn't talking about De'Aaron. Yeah. So De'Aaron's happy with his big bag.
Oh, right, okay. Because I look at, I said, you just signed a 5-year deal and you want to be traded. Like, what? Nah, okay.
Right.
That, I mean, that's kind of mean. That's kind of messed up. Not gonna but I mean, that's kind of mean.
Yeah, I had to clear. Yeah, because I need your, now I need your take again, Joy. Because, yeah, I had to get
oh,
it out
okay,
there.
Got
right.
it. Got it. Got it. Okay, so with that being said, that's mean, because you can't play GM. You're a parent at the end of the day. Like, that's so evil. You can't just do that. It's evil. It's so mean. I get he's trash or whatever he thinks he is, Jeez, that's messed up.
Say it
that
nicer.
Messed up.
He's garbage, okay? Say it nicer. Listen, I'm with her. I'm with Swipe's dad. I'm with Darren Daddy. If you want to go. I mean, trade him. You don't want to be here, go. You know what I'm saying? We got bags over here. We got dudes that's trying to win. We don't got time for that negativity and all that. Stuff. We're not doing last year again, man.
Yeah, I get it. I think he could have, you know, not said anything. But, you know, I get it. If he's trash, then I'll be like, yeah, let him. Me, as a fan, I'm a brutal NBA fan, so I probably would have said it too. I'm not gonna even judge him, but, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, and I think it's more of a – I think it's true. I think he wishes, you know, he potentially could leave or whatever. But like you said, he's still in his rookie contract. You know, you can't really get much for him right now. He hasn't played, you know, basically the entire time he's been here in Sacramento. And, you know, yeah, De'Aaron Pops was being a little mean, I guess. We could say that. But I think it's more of, you know, players are always, you know, unhappy in certain situations, certain times. And when you're you know, like ourselves, we're NBA personalities. We do have a voice. So sometimes we got to watch what we say, because you could put something out there and you could say it. Maybe you meant it. But you didn't really think it was going to go so big. And next thing you know, boom, you're on these different pages and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Because he did delete it. You know, he posted and deleted it. He was thinking from a dad's perspective, like, trade my son. And he's like, oh, shoot, my son is somebody. This may go somewhere. Let me delete it.
Yeah,
you know, and I think that's kind of what happened. And the Sacramento Kings are looking pretty good this year. They're 3-3. All six games been tough fought games, and I'm actually pulling, and I gotta like write it all down. But I think I got them sneaking in my eighth seed. But
they'll be fighting for the eighth seed playoff.
Yeah, Golden State ain't getting it, so.
Yeah, because they'll be around the sixth or seventh seed.
So. I think they're gonna be around the ninth. Or 10th. They might get because of playing, but no, not the way Kelly been looking. No, sir. No shade to Steph. Like I said, he's great, but that the rest of the team is okay. Come on. No. They won't make the – no. I do not have the Warriors making the playoffs. At first I did, but now I don't. I didn't think that would look this bad.
They are looking sus right now, for sure, definitely. But Joy, I want to thank you for jumping on with us. And I hope we could do this again later on and kind of get some more predictions and some pick your brain on some things. But anything you got going on, if you want to shout out your podcast, your handle, you know, all that, the floor is yours.
Oh, thank you. Well, I do have a podcast. It's called The Checkup. It's on Apple, Spotify. It's with my friend B-Dot. He's like a Instagram personality, you know, he's been, you know, on TV, different things like that. And my friend Gowie, you know, he went viral for the LeBron challenge a few years ago. So we have a podcast together. We're on season two of the podcast. I'm about to start up season two of Unrestricted. It's my interview series. Last season I interviewed, you know, Ron Artest, Avery Johnson, Sean Marion, people like that. So I'm starting that back up really soon. And yeah, that's pretty much it. That's all I can say right about now. But I really, really appreciate it. They can follow me on Twitter, on Instagram, and YouTube at all at Joy D'Angelo. So yeah, I really, really appreciate y'all having me. It was fun.
No problem. Oh, thank you. Thank you for coming. Enjoyed you. And even though some of this stuff is a little biased, I appreciate you being here. And you know what? I'm a give, because you said I'm a give Russ and Bill a little bit of a chance this year. I'm gonna see what they do. I'm gonna hold my tongue from here on out. And when they blow it, I'll be here for you.
Oh wow! If they blow it, it will not be their fault. If it they will blow be it, everybody else's.
If they do well, I'm gonna congratulate you.
Yes. Yes. If they blow it, it will not be their fault. It will be. We're gonna blame it on Jenny Avdija or somebody like that. Scott Brooks. Yeah, somebody. It won't be Russ and Bill's fault. We never blame Russ for
anything. There we go. Hey, we go check out of here, man. It's your boy Mark Haynes, and I just changed my Instagram handle to Mark Haynes 33. So that's where you can find me. And then my co-host,
Chris Perry. You can look down in the corner at Chris.PerrySR. You can always find me right there.
And this is A Minute Till Six podcast, season 3. And we out.
Peace.